How can you level up your conversations with other people so that they are more deep, more authentic, more honest, and you're really able to build up good relationships? No matter if you're talking to a friend or you're meeting a stranger on a networking event for the first time, or if you are in a job interview. NLP can help you with that. NLP stands for Neurolinguistic Programming, and I have held a free webinar at the beginning of December this year to share my knowledge exactly about that, how NLP can help you to improve your conversations, your communications, and also to clear up some prejudices that some people have about NLP, namely that it might be used to manipulate other people in politics and in marketing. This podcast episode is the recording of that webinar. I wish you a lot of fun listening to it, and I also wish you a nice end of the year celebration and a great start into the new year 2024. But if we go back to the question, how we can deepen our conversations, there is a very powerful quote I would like to share with you, and that comes from Iris Apfel. And I don't know if you know her. She's a US American fashion icon, actually over 100 years old already, but a really, really inspiring woman. And she has said the following, and I think that statement really nails it. She has said, if you're not interested, you cannot be interesting. So maybe let that sink in a little bit, because that gives really a hint how you can create deeper connections with people and how you can show your interest in others and that they also keep you in mind, that you are interesting for them. So show interests. And the question is, how can you do that, right? And maybe you say now, okay, wait, now it gets challenging, because if I'm doing small talk, I sometimes have the problem that, okay, I don't know what to say. I don't even know how to react. And now I'm saying, hey, you should not just say something, but you should also ask good questions. And now it gets really challenging. And now it's even getting more difficult. And what you don't want is such a long, embarrassing pause in the middle of a conversation where both people are just like, yeah, I don't know what to say anymore. Sorry, you just smiled away, right? But this is where NLP can help us. So neurolinguistic programming comes with some tools how you can ask really good questions to show interest in other people and how you can easily keep a conversation going. So NLP is something that was established by John Grinder and Richard Bandler in California in the 1970s. And what they have done is that they have observed the best psychologists in their network, because they wanted to know, what actually is it that makes them successful? Like, what are these psychologists doing with their clients, or how are they communicating with their clients to really make a difference, to really support people, to have an effect in how they change their behavior, how they change their thinking? And they observed all these patterns and put that together. And this is how that whole concept of neurolinguistic programming came up. So it stands for, as the name says, how you can affect the thinking and the behavior of people by language. And very often it's also called the modeling of excellence, because it contains all these patterns that those good psychologists were using. And it's kind of a toolbox of different communication techniques, so methods that can impact the human behavior and the human psychology. And NLP, it's a huge field. One important part of that is the so-called Milton model. And this Milton model describes 25 different language patterns that people typically use in their communication in their everyday life. And these language patterns can be, for example, that we use a lot of unspecific verbs or nominalizations. This is how it's called. So words like stressed, I am stressed, or also words like freedom, very general things, where actually every one of us has a different definition for that. So if you ask a person what means freedom for you, you might get an answer that would be a little bit different from your own thinking. One other language pattern is a generalization. So whenever we say always or never, yeah, often a problem in relationships, you're never listening to me, you're always late. This is a generalization. There we have these so-called model operators. Whenever you make a statement of, oh, you have to, or I have to, or I cannot, then there is something like mind reading. Whenever a person tells you, oh, you must be tired, like, okay, how can you know? So, and many others. So there are these language patterns in NLP, and then NLP comes up with question or with techniques how to ask the right questions to identify these language patterns and to figure out what is really behind that. And with that, I would like to dive a little bit into practice, because I think this is what we are interested in here, and how asking the right questions with the help of NLP. And the first thing that you have to do to be able to ask the right questions is that you have to listen. Right? So listening actively, that's the first practice, and it sounds so easy. But I think for us nowadays, it can be really a challenge, because we have so many impressions around us, so many distractions, so it can be really, really hard to be present. And maybe a question to you, are you still there? If you can just send me a hint, like a thumbs up, or you type a yes into the chat, just let me know. Okay, great. Because I mean, I am okay. There are coming some answers. Great. Because I also know, I mean, I'm just a small person here on your screen, and you're sitting at home, and you have a lot of different impressions around you, and it feels so easy. Yes, to just grab our phones and checking our emails. But it's also your decision how present you are in the conversation of a person and how actively you listen. And I'm happy that you're still here with me. That's great. So if we dive a little bit into the practice of how you can ask the right questions, there are two techniques or practical techniques of NLP that I would like to share with you. The first one is the so-called magnifying glass. And the second technique is called what is missing. So if we start with that magnifying glass, because that one is a little bit easier to apply, I would say, I would like to go back to that statement that my colleague has made in that situation at work when she said, we have rented a summer house in Sweden. So let's work with that statement a little bit. So with that magnifying glass of NLP, the idea is that you're hearing such a sentence, you listen actively, so you really hear it, and then you scan that sentence in your mind, word by word, with a magnifying glass and thinking, is there a certain word that I can zoom in a bit, where I need to zoom in a bit to get the idea what is really behind that? I give you the first, or actually to give you those examples, there are actually four words minimum in that sentence where you could zoom in, where you could apply that magnifying glass. In that sentence, we have rented a summer house in Sweden. So if we are taking the first word, we have rented a summer house in Sweden, zooming in here with that magnifying glass means you hear that word, we have rented a summer house in Sweden. Do you know Who is we? Actually not, right? You just hear, okay, we have rented the summer house in Sweden. You don't know who the people exactly are. So that would that zooming in mean to ask, hey, who exactly? When you apply that magnifying glass in your mind to that word, who is we? Who exactly? With who you have been there? That is one possibility to continue the conversation by asking, we have rented a summer house in Sweden. Okay, with who have you been there? Who is we? Or you go to the second word, which would be, we have rented a summer house in Sweden, and zooming in there. And maybe if you have an idea what you could ask for zooming in, what renting means. If you have an idea for a good question to ask, please type that into the chat. Where did you rent? Yeah, website. How did you find it? Yeah, it's really good. Exactly. So you hear, okay, we have rented a summer house in Sweden, but yeah, how did you rent and where did you find the house? Was it from a private owner? Was it via Airbnb, via a website? As you said, how did you find the house? How did the renting go? So all those, and I think you've brought up very, very good examples. All those would be good questions that you could ask for zooming in a little bit. How or what does renting mean? If you continue, we have rented a summer house in Sweden. Summer house. What would you ask there? Was it close to a lake? How big? How was it? Was it in the country? Was it modern or traditional? Yes, very good. Was there a garden? Old or new one? Indoor toilet. Okay, yes. Exactly. So, I mean, it can be anything, right? You hear summer house, it can be like without electricity or running water, or it could be a super modern thing with a jacuzzi on the terrace, or just one of these nice, colorful wooden summer houses that you normally have in Sweden. Exactly. So, I think you put it here very well. And then, of course, the last one, we have rented a summer house in Sweden. What would you ask there? Have you been there before? Where exactly? Which part of Sweden? Yes, exactly. Yeah, where in Sweden location? I mean, Sweden is quite big. It can be anywhere. It can be next to Stockholm. It can be somewhere in Lapland. If you just hear Sweden, you don't know. So you just ask for it. Okay, then. And I think you've done great with all your suggestions. So maybe then we move on to the next tool, which is what is missing. And I think you have brought it already here up in your suggestions, hearing that sentence, we have rented a summer house in Sweden. There is some information about the summer holiday that is not contained in that sentence, right? And you had it already. Like some of you had written in the chat, you don't have an information for how long people have been there. So the time component is missing, or how they have traveled there. Or then also, I think somebody wrote it as well, like, how did you like it? Yeah, so this is the information what is missing. So this is what you can ask as well. So for example, how long have you been there? Also, what motivated you to go to Sweden? And how have you liked it, or how have you liked it? And now, I mean, for the perfectionists among us, the challenge is now not that you have to identify all these questions, okay, that you can ask. So it's not that you hear that statement and you know, okay, I have to go through with my magnifying glass and finding all the words that I'm zooming in, or finding all the possibilities I could ask. It's just, these are just two ways that you can keep in mind. Whenever you hear a statement, you just jump on one word and you keep the conversation going from that. So it can be something like, oh, we have rented a summer house in Sweden. Oh, with who have you been there? With my family. Do you have kids? Yes, I have two sons. How old are your sons? 6 and 8. Where actually in Sweden have you been? Close to Stockholm. Have you liked it? Yeah, and this is already something that the conversation gets deeper, and just of only replying, oh, we have rented a summer house in Sweden, oh, we have rented a house in the UK. And I think this is still what a lot of people do nowadays, is kind of somebody explains something, oh yeah, but I have done this. I have run a marathon, or I have done an Ironman a couple of years ago. Yeah, I think we're quite used to it, but this is not how conversations get deeper, but in asking these questions, they do. And if you have really, like, let's say, a very challenging dialogue partner, like a person who's not very talkative, or if the statement is so, let's say, generous or does not contain any keywords you could jump on, there are still questions that always work in a conversation. And I think the first one, how did you like it, or how do you like it? This is something we apply so rarely in our everyday life, although we could. Because how often does it happen that a colleague, for example, comes to the office on a Monday morning and is saying, oh yeah, I've done this and that during the weekend? It would be so easy to ask, hey, how did you like it? What were your impressions? Did it feel good? Was it exhausting? Were you happy? Yeah, or all these kind of things. What also always works in every conversation is to ask a person what is important for you regarding a certain aspect. Yeah, what is important for you for regarding your free time? Or what is important for you regarding your family, how you plan your weekend? What is important for you if you are holding a meeting? What is important for you regarding this project at work? In a job interview, what is important for you regarding the personality of your colleagues and how you would like to have a team spirit? Because it also is, it signals a very, very strong interest in the other person to ask, hey, what is important? And also a nice point, what does something mean for you? Yeah, if we talk about values, and I think we all have values, but it's also what NLP, where they come with these questioning techniques, for example, this very general word of freedom. Yeah, we all say freedom is important for us, but what actually does freedom mean for you? Or what does a nice holiday mean for you? Or what does a fulfilling holiday mean for you? So those are the things that always work. And then, if, let's say, the setting changes a bit and it even comes to a challenging conversation, so maybe not where you are discussing with your colleagues about a summer holiday, but a conversation can get challenging. For example, if you have a challenging discussion at work about a project, or if you are a job interview, you get a really weird question, or somebody is questioning what you are saying. And I think whenever we get verbally attacked, we have a big tendency to go into this fight, flight, or freeze mode. So either you start arguing, you're getting aggressive and you're defending yourself, or you're just, okay, I try to escape. And if you can, I mean, like trying to leave the room, trying to leave the conversation, or just that freeze mode and like, I don't know what to say at all anymore. But what helps whenever you have a verbal attack is that you can also dare, you can keep some general questions in mind that can actually always help you to resolve that and to turn that conversation around. And here it comes again, that what does something mean for you? I mean, when a person, for example, blames you, hey, you are too sensitive. I've heard it myself once. Actually asking, yeah, what does sensitivity mean for you? Like playing the ball back. Or also like, oh, you will not be successful with this. What does success mean for you? We all have a different definition of that. Or then to ask, what is your intention with? So asking for the intention is always also something which is very powerful. Like even if you're getting very aggressively attacked with, let's say, a very rude statement or a very rude question, just asking, what is your intention with that statement? Or what is your intention with that question? Or what is the reason for your reaction? And also here, or this is a little trick that I also learned in my NLP education. What is the reason for? It's actually a different wording of asking, or for asking why. Because with why, I think this is something that maybe we have all heard in our childhood very, very often, or maybe also then as a teenager, or then later in relationships. Why have you done that? Why always comes with a certain note of, I have to justify myself when somebody asks me, oh, why have you done that? Or even if you would ask that colleague when she says, we have rented a summer house in Sweden, when you're asking, why did you go to Sweden? Yeah, it could come from a Finnish person of like, hey, Finland is more beautiful. Why did you go to Sweden? Whereas if you would ask, what was the reason, or what motivated you to go to Sweden, or what is the reason why you think like this? It's a bit the tone is a little bit different. And the fourth possibility is to switch back the conversation to the actual topic, because it happens so often that we start talking about something and then somehow we get so lost. There comes a certain example and then we start justifying ourselves and we start to discuss about something completely else to, and it's called reframing in NLP, to at some point make that pause and saying, hey, shouldn't we better talk about the original topic or the actual problem? And I mean, that requires a little bit of mental stability as well, that you not get into that kind of funnel of, okay, you're getting verbally attacked with a weird question, with a weird statement, and then you're starting to justify yourself, and it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. But you then you have the power and you have the stability to say, hey, hold on, we actually should better talk about what was the original of for having that conversation. Okay, then, so I mean, to summarize it a little bit, so whenever you're having a conversation, and of course it always requires not just one person, but a couple who are taking part, like minimum two, but have that awareness that you always have the power of how a conversation goes. So what you should not do is first of all, and I think you're doing great with that, not losing the focus, but staying present when listening to the other person. What you also should avoid is listening just to reply. Yeah, that kind of, oh, we have rented a summer house in Sweden, or I have rented a car. This is kind of listening just to reply, not listening to understand. And then also it's good to avoid yes and no questions, because yes and no questions, if your dialogue partner is not very talkative, you just get a yes and no reply and you immediately have to think about the next question, but you want to open up the room a little bit. Then also avoid asking why. As said, we have that negative association with that, so it's better to formulate it as a, hey, what was the reason, or what is the reason that you think like that? What motivates you, or what's the reason why you're asking that? And also avoid justifying and explaining yourself, because with that you give away the lead, because the person who is leading a conversation is always the person who is asking the questions. So, and of course, I mean, if another person asks you a question, especially in a job interview, like, don't get me wrong, it's not that you should immediately like come back with another question. Of course you should answer. But also be aware that you also have the power to play back the ball and asking a question, because this is what makes you taking the lead in a conversation. So basically, what you should do is, as said, like being present, listening to understand, not to reply. So listening in a way that you really are able to zoom in, and that you, when somebody tells you about an experience that he or she has made, that you are able to zoom in, and that you are able to create that same picture in your mind of that situation that the person has experienced. And you can do that by asking open questions with that magnifying glass that we have had, and with this pattern of what is missing on information. And then having the awareness that you can take the lead of the conversation by asking questions, and that you also can take the freedom to reframe if necessary. If the topic goes into a certain direction that you don't like, reframe it. Come back to the original topic. Then also, how you can use NLP in practice is storytelling. And I think storytelling is, I mean, not just in marketing, not just in politics, but it's that word now is, yeah, you hear it so often that you should do storytelling when you are posting yourself on social media. Or, of course, it works really, really good in conversations, or when you give presentations or speeches or in a job interview. I think the big question is maybe, how can you do a good storytelling? How does good storytelling actually work? And there again, using these techniques from NLP, that especially that magnifying glass, that zooming in, and combining that with like a little bit of what we had, and that what is missing, like with all the different sensations, that actually makes a good story. And that makes it lively. So if you, for example, talk about the summer holiday that you had, okay, let's say we have rented a summer house in Sweden. If you're telling about that, if you're telling that story about that you zoom in yourself, saying, hey, we have rented that summer house in Sweden. It was located on that big lake. And then on the other side of the house, which had that wooden yellow facade, there were these really, really high trees, but always during the afternoon, one part of the terrace was always completely exposed to the sun, and it was so nice to sit there in the sun and to hear the birds singing and to listening to the wind and looking on that lake. Yeah, that's the zooming in. It's that kind of bringing these situations to life. This is meant with good storytelling, and this is where the zooming in and thinking about all those sensational aspects can really help. So we are basically at the end, 5 minutes before 7. I'm really happy about the time management, right? So just to summarize that a bit and to wrap that up, so we can say that NLP is used in conversations, in marketing, in politics, debates. And it might be true that it manipulates people, or it has the power to manipulate people. But I would say it's a tool, yeah, like many others. And like you have a knife, for example, as a tool to either make a delicious food or hurt someone, or you use a hammer as a tool to build up furniture or to hurt someone. It's the same what you're doing with your words. So words can be really, really powerful, and they can hurt a lot as well. So I think knowing also about these techniques, it's always what you should keep in mind. Use them with a good intention. And then to keep conversations going and to make them deep and to make them fulfilling, a first step that is really important is the active listening, word by word, to give you also that possibility to zoom in to certain words. And then keeping in mind that you can always take a lead in a conversation by asking good questions. So using that magnifying glass technique, using that technique of what is missing. And you can always take the freedom to clarify what is the intention in a conversation. And you can always take that responsibility and taking the lead also to reframe the whole topic and to bring a person back to a certain topic or to a different topic that you would like to discuss. So that was basically the message that I had for you. I hope you have learned something. And what I also wanted to offer you here is that if we are not connected yet on social media, on LinkedIn or Instagram, this is where you can find me. And also if you have any personal struggle with your communication that you would like to resolve, I'm also offering these single consultation sessions up to 1.5 hours very comfortably online via Zoom for 85 euros. So if you have something that you would be interested to discuss on a personal 101 level, you can just reach out to me. Also, if you just would like to get some more free inspirations, as said, you can find me on social media, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, at michaela.kettner.fi, as shown here in the footer. And then I have my podcast, which is called Spotlight Your True Self, where you could get some more free inspirations. So the whole concept of the Spotlight Your True Self podcast is about how you find the confidence to show your authentic self to people, to make your message heard, to inspire people with your words by building up confidence, by managing your emotions, and by using the right communication techniques. And you can find the podcast on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Samsung Free, Google Podcasts, or Deezer. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I hope you had some inspiring insights on your journey to spotlight your true self. If you don't want to miss the next episode, then please subscribe to this podcast. And you would make me very happy if you would give this podcast a rating if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And if you would recommend this podcast to your friends, to your family, to your colleagues, or whoever where you think this person would find support in the topics that I am discussing here. If you would like to follow me on social media, you can find me on LinkedIn and on Instagram under at michaela.kettner.fi. And if you find it challenging to spell my German name, you can find, of course, all the contact details in the show notes of this podcast.